This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Matthias, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of.
Hey Gordon, how's it going?
I've had a fabulous weekend, Doc. It's football heaven for me. Spurs lost, Chiefs won two games in a row, and they beat Super Sports. So, yeah. And Arsenal won. So I've had a fabulous weekend. The only dark cloud, surprisingly enough.
Yeah.
Is reflected on my T-shirt.
You got your cricket shirt on, yeah?
Because what's happening today?
It's 100 up, eh?
We're going to score a ton today, which is more than the Proteas.
100. Well, hopefully they're going to score a lot more than that coming in. They've got a few more games. But, John, Gordon, geez, 100 episodes. That's 2 years on. Can you believe it? I mean, we've had a fantastic run, and not just us, but the guests. I mean, we've had a stellar lineup of people over 2 years.
Been wonderful, and thanks to everybody out there supporting us and the positive feedback we've got, giving us topics to talk about. I think from a selfish point of view, I think it's been fantastic for me, and I guess for you as well, because it's kept us in the game, you know, where so many of our colleagues have talked about isolation. I think we've been really lucky in the sense that we've been up to speed on so many of the trends because people were feeding back to us. So once again, thanks to everyone out there for giving us topics, for feeding us information, giving us new angles. It's been brilliant. And yeah, and we've got one of our podcast first. Well, not one of. We've got the podcast first person, first people.
We have, exactly, and that's that's why we've brought back a special guest in Ivan Morocco. Ivan, thanks very much. You were our very first guest. I don't know if you knew at the time. I thought we'd probably told you we've done a whole lot just to sound more impressive than we really were. But in reality, you were our very first guest, and that's why we brought you back on our 100th episode. So, you know, CEO of Kantar South Africa, thanks very much for spending time with us.
It's really great to be here. And firstly, congratulations, guys. I mean, I can't believe it's 100 episodes later. So, well done on sustainability. We should be touching a bit on later, but yeah, you guys have been for all topics.
Well, speaking of that, that's interesting that he introduced that old topic he thought there, because I've got a picture of us from episode one, Doc.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, you know, I think Ivan's aged better than you. I've got to be honest. I'm not, you know, not.
Did I lose my way there over the 2 years of COVID?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, Doc. We're going to have to look at the diet. I think a little more exercise for you. Ivan, he's fresh off a whole gig of webinars in the last month for Kantar. You've been really busy. So, Doc, we'll chat about some of that. But, I mean, I think maybe the place to start before we look at the new stuff that you've been working on, it's just to track back. We started off in 2019 with Brand Z, which I think was the second iteration in South Africa. And there were some really interesting learnings in there. I mean, for me, the stat which struck me most at the time was that the average decline in brand value was about 13% for the top 30 brands in South Africa. When I thought, wow, okay, that's kind of dark. Mm-hmm. But in actual fact, relative to the top 40 brands on the JSE, they declined 20%. So the thing which struck me is you can be going backwards at a point in time and still be a winning brand. But what shifted in the last 2 years? What are some of the things which you recall from that brand Z, which are just not kind of the same at the moment?
Yeah, some things, I mean, as things change, things stay the same. And at the core of brand Z, there's always been about brands, good brands, strong brands, either they recover quicker or they can, they are more resilient. And to your point, the reference that you are making, if you look at the JSE decline and if you compare it to brand Z, it continued even, especially during COVID, right?
Yeah.
The same trend was even there about recovery. And also in terms of being far much more resilient. And that's important for us, I think, in terms of the value of brands on the bottom line, right? I mean, that's what is at the core of brands. And later on, we might be talking about Marketing Achievement Awards, which relate to that as well. Without doubt, absolutely with empirical proof, that strong brand equity protects you at worst against the headwinds that are coming through. But in terms of recovery, you can actually recover faster.
Yeah.
So that continues.
Yeah. You used the phrase back then in 2019, brand power insulation, which stuck with me at the time as being a really powerful kind of representation. How do you encapsulate the power? One of the other points that you raised then was not to look at brands through a Santon lens, which I thought was a very powerful observation.
Yes.
Are we still making that mistake, or do you see some signs of improvement? And we'll talk about that in terms of your Africa Life work.
You know, Doug, the issue about how you look at marketing and what we do is directly linked to diversity, to inclusion and diversity. Mm-hmm. That point that you made, that I made a reference of. Of course, if you are not diverse and you are not inclusive in terms of the team that are working on brands, you are going to be looking at it with a view that is like where the people that are homogeneous are looking at. There's something quite interesting that somebody says, which is so fun, and it has been proven over and over again, to say homogeneous teams get to solutions quicker.
Mm.
However, diverse teams get to better solutions.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's you cannot have that conversation that you are referring to without absolutely embracing and taking inclusion and diversity as a fundamental business commercial reason. Forget about the ethics and the right thing to do, right? I mean, let's be honest, when it comes to it, it's about business. And all the, I mean, respectable organizations, HBR, McKinsey, they're proving it.
Yeah.
Empirical evidence to show how inclusion and diversity really makes a difference in terms of the bottom line.
Yeah.
So we are still far away from that, but it is getting better. And actually, we've partnered with the industry is a global program about inclusion and diversity survey that was being done globally, and South Africa was one of the countries that were included. There'll be a press release soon, and as Kantar, we worked with Masa in terms of running the survey, and there's going to be some interesting finding to it. So that's the only way.
Yeah, that's a powerful global initiative, I think, through the WFA. And
exactly.
That survey I participated in as well. So I'm really looking forward to that, because I think there's a powerful route forward. And I found it quite reassuring in a way, because I think in South Africa we've become a little bit insular, and we've convinced ourselves that somehow we are the only people who are sitting with this problem. And I felt quite liberated in a way to recognize that some of the challenges we're facing with here are universal challenges.
Absolutely.
Not just here. And it encouraged me that, you know, that solutions can be found across the globe and applied here. Best practice will prevail. So I'm really looking forward to that outcome.
Absolutely. And remember, inclusion and diversity, because normally we look at it here from a ethnicity perspective.
Yes, exactly.
It encompasses so much. Sure. I mean, it's gender, religion, depending on the market. But I really, really live by that inclusion and diversity. It is a business imperative, and it can give you profits more than you even realize. And there's empirical proof for that.
Yeah. And I think that we need also, one of our discussions, Doc, during the course of the last month or two, talked about cognitive diversity.
Yes.
Which I think is something that needs to be emphasized as well. You know, you and I may look different.
Yeah.
But if we think the same, we've not made any progress. So we need to encapsulate cognitive diversity. I think that came from the media shop, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But it was a very, very powerful observation. So we need also to look at the way people think and assess them when we're interviewing young talent.
Absolutely.
Assess their thinking and not just the demographic as part of the step.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Now, Ivan, that was a nice look back, and thanks for that. But let's look at today. I mean, very recently you brought out a webinar on Africa Life, and there were some fantastic outtakes and very interesting, you know, findings from that. So if you don't mind just, for our listeners, giving us a snapshot view of some of the highlights of that report.
Yeah, Africa Life is also a personal passion point besides being a significant business imperative as well. And before we did this study with the person who's leading it across the continent, it's funny because I remember saying to her, I said, I've always believed that the growth of Africa is going to be based on three things. And it's funny, it has been confirmed by the report over and above, I mean, with other amazing insights which I'll touch based on. And I said, it's going to be based on is three things, and each of them, they offer so much growth opportunities, but them, the three of them combined, is a potent cocktail, and it is tech, right? In terms of how tech is leapfrogging the continent, right? Mm. Tech is absolutely changing how we do business, how we relate, everything to do with tech, and it's amazing. And on this continent, primarily being driven by mobile companies, which is fantastic. The second one is creativity. Stroke innovation. We underestimate the power of creativity on this continent. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, this is where it all started, right? Yeah. Where things were created. So it makes sense that creativity will be here. And then the third thing is entrepreneurship. Before the chat, remember we were talking about the hustling thing. That yes, hustling on the continent is still about survival, but it has also now encompassing an aspirational thing. Right, in terms of entrepreneurship and hustle. Now, if you can combine those three things about entrepreneurship, tech, creativity, doesn't take a rocket scientist. And what I love about all of them, they are not dependent so much on how the government is in those markets. Of course, if the government are in support, even better.
Yeah.
But they're independent of it. So some of the issues, they were identified in terms of the Africa Life. And some of the issues, when people engage with that, they offer so much growth for brands, marketing, and business, because they talk about consumer confidence. How is the consumer confidence in Africa post, in inverted commas, post COVID-19? How is it shaping? Secondly, the tech, again, it goes into far much more deeper detail about how tech is touching all aspects of life, and thereby giving you so much opportunities for brands. Lifestyle. What is the lifestyles of Africa? One thing that I always find funny is how it's now a cliche, right? People say, yeah, Africa is not a country. And I agree with it. And it's normally in reference to people thinking like all African countries are the same.
Sure.
However, as much as it's not a country, there are some things that are the commonalities, right? Mm-hmm. But it can be like a country, because think about it from a practical perspective. If you are a Pan-African brand with Pan-African ambitions, you want the similarities as much as the differences.
Yeah.
Because there are just some, like if you have, example, doing a campaign, a campaign that is going to run across the continent, you want those things that connect the countries, because you cannot be doing a broad brand campaign for each of them.
Sure.
But at the same time, you want the nuances so that you can do activations on the floor. It also talks about e-commerce. Now, e-commerce is amazing, because what is quite ironic is South Africa, for all this development, funny enough, we've been lagging a bit behind.
Yeah.
If you compare with other African countries where we think they are less developed.
Sure.
But now we've seen, right, thanks to COVID-19, how e-commerce e-commerce now is being adopted.
Yeah.
Unlike in the past, what you used to think is the higher income groups, now it is absolutely going mass, which is fantastic. It will also touch on things like health and wellness and what are the top trends which will impact the marketplace. So as you can hear, I mean, it really gives you a 360 view. And this is not just being done as an academic exercise, right? It's not like we've done Africa Live just to be writing a thesis.
Yeah.
It's to be answering the so what.
Yeah.
What does it mean for brands?
Mm. Yeah.
What does it mean for that? So it's if gets here, yeah, I would advise any brand, any business with African aspiration to get their hands on that.
We are, I think, next week or somewhere in the next week or two, going to be chatting to PhD about a book they've just launched globally called Shift, kind of a rethink on marketing. And they've identified that tech trend as one of the key elements of that. And an interesting observation as well, that they're talking about the COVID-19 phenomenon as an accelerant.
Indeed.
Rather than a phenomenon on its own.
Yes.
Now these trends, we're attributing too much to COVID. It just accelerated a pre-existing trend, which I think is what you're saying as well. So that's been confirmed in that PhD book, which we're looking forward to chatting about.
Ivan, if people want to get hold of this report, do I go to the Kantar site? Is it available? Can I download it? Do I purchase it? How do I get hold of it?
Yes, you can go to the Kantar site in terms of how do you purchase it. What it gives, what we also have, also a top line in terms of what you'll get into that report. And I think the Kantar site will give exactly where to go to in terms of that report.
Well, again, you know, just to our listeners out there, you know, as we always say, be part of the conversation. I mean, that's just a very top line view from Ivan, but I mean, go onto the site, educate yourself and be part of the conversation. I think just before we move off that, Ivan, I mean, one of the big takes, and you and I spoke off air with Gordon prior to this, is the whole Google $1 billion announcement two weeks ago. I mean, that's fantastic as well. In that tech space, creativity, they spoke about YouTube shorts, they spoke about African creativity across the continent. I mean, it was a very, very insightful webinar. I mean, you know, Gordon, I guess through the COVID, we've all sat through so many of them, and some of them are okay.
I
tell you, that Google one was a proper webinar. Hey? There was some big stuff in that one. Hey?
Doc, you are absolutely right. And if there is any endorsement, I mean, what more endorsement would you need because of that webinar how much that they are investing in it?
Yeah.
Surely Google knows something that many people might not know. So if you need an endorsement that is both a source of growth, and they are putting their money where their mouth is, is exactly there. It was a fantastic, incredible webinar.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
I saw that. This was really amazing.
And I mean,
it
touches on the point you spoke about, you know, the facilitation, Gordon, through tech of e-commerce, of small businesses, of medium. You know, they speak a lot about different funds. And so, again, you know, for people, I mean, Kantar, go onto theirs, but also, you know, as a major player, go on and try and access that webinar. You certainly won't be disappointed.
I would encourage people to do that, because even the top line report is worth following through. But, you know, read the top line report in conjunction with a recording still exists of the webinar.
Yeah.
You can get to see Ivan and his tight TV personality T-shirt as well. But the one thing which, you know, there's a little bit of a handbrake on all this for me was the one word. If I did a word cloud of that webinar, the one word which will come up is the same word that's been coming up for 20, 30 years with respect to Africa, which is potential.
Yes.
And that's why I liked, Doc, what you've been sharing, you know, about the Google thing. We have to move beyond potential. It's got to be putting your money where your mouth is. You know, otherwise we get stuck in William Kamkwamba space, the boy who harnessed the wind. It's a beautiful story. It's inspirational. It's powerful. But I'd love to know what happened to the boy who harnessed the wind part two.
Indeed.
Which is, you know, what comes
Indeed.
Next.
Indeed. And Doug, on that point, you just have to look at venture capitalists in terms of how much they are, the amount of funds that are injecting in the continent.
Yeah,
I mean, there's quite a lot of VCs engaging money in terms of entrepreneurship, tech space, and all that stuff. Again, if you need an endorsement with hard-nosed business people, you can see this is the place to go. So, and back to your point about being the next frontier of growth, people overseas are absolutely plowing money in it because they can do it. They are not just doing it from the goodness of their heart.
Sure.
It's really the opportunities are real. And listen, let's be honest, it's not like we are going to be looking at the continent with through rose-colored glasses. Of course, there are challenges. But back to my point, to say, notwithstanding those challenges, there are some things that, regardless of those challenges, creativity, tech, and innovation, it's not dependent on proper governance of countries and all this stuff. Yes, that helps. I mean, if you think about countries like your Rwanda, where it's fantastic, where you know that you've got a government which is embracing this growth and all this stuff. So it is huge, huge opportunities that are on this continent. For me, it's extremely exciting because it's quite a strong passion point of mine.
And just, I mean, looking at Rwanda just for a second, and I'm by no means an expert, but I mean, they've got a campus of ALU, African Leadership University, the Harvard-endorsed property there, as well as one in Mauritius. Now, again, you know, Gordon, these, I mean, I follow that, and I'm, you know, I'm very keen on looking at that work, at creating business people out of that thing, out of true leaders, and I mean, they talk about really ethical leaders, you know what I mean? Like, properly, globally, world-class, top leaders who happen to be African. And certainly Rwanda and then the satellite campus in Mauritius are leading the way. So,
and Doc, on that point, in terms of the founder of ALU, we heard him on the Africa Live webinar, Fred Swaneka.
Yeah.
If anybody doesn't know who Fred Swaneka is, I mean, just Google the guy. Yeah. He's phenomenal. He's phenomenal. And to your point, Doug, it's a combination of ethical leadership means business growth. Yeah. So it's not a kumbaya kind of vibe and all this stuff, right?
Sure.
I mean, and they've got a direct link even in terms of the Africa Leadership Academy, which is in Johannesburg, which is a feeder school for Ivy League varsities overseas. So, you know, this thing that if you think about Africa, you think, oh, it's going to be like maybe something a bit downscaled, upshame kind of vibe. No. You've got smart, brilliant people who are doing amazing work. And sometimes, unfortunately, we rely too much on mass media to tell us where Africa is. Just do yourself a favor and just go in terms. I mean, there's so much information out in the public domain, but you're not going to get some things so freely available on mass media. Yeah. If you do the proper homework, you will be astounded and so inspired about the growth that is happening on this continent. Yeah. It's really incredible.
Now, you mentioned, you know, looping back a little bit, talking about hard-nosed business people. And you guys, I'm loving this at you because you're here in your other role as well in terms of the Marketing Achievement Awards. And I note that the theme going forward is marketing means business. So maybe this is a good time to kind of look at the Africanization of the Marketing Achievement Awards and that theme of meaning business. What are the plans? I mean, it's still early days, but are we rolling along? Are you on track?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, congratulations.
You're the chair.
I went to the chair. I've taken over this year as chairperson.
Thank you. Well done. What an honor to be having the kind of captains of industry that are on that council and all. It really is genuinely humbling. I don't know what I've done to deserve being in the company of such great people. So, but yeah, thank you. It's looking forward.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly, you know, Gordon, I serve on that committee with Ivan as the chair, and as you say, a lot of the top names, you know, and I think the two things that we're trying to achieve. I mean, there are a few others, but I mean, the two main ones, Ivan, is making sure that marketing does mean business, and it's marketing is not just equal to advertising, is not just equal to promotion, sponsorship, and the fun on the beach at over the summer season. But there's a tangible result, and part of that is education, financial literacy of marketers, tech. You spoke about it. The whole ad tech, mark tech is huge. You're not going to get away from that stuff. You know, CX. And so there's that theme, and then the second part, Ivan, is to say to young people out there, marketing is a real career. It's a really a wide and varied career path from the creative side all the way through to the more scientific parts of marketing. So there's a space for you. And so part of our journey together is working with those brands at making sure that they meet their objectives and ROI on the sponsorship. And also to say to people, enter the awards, showcase your work, but understand that there's a business case. It's not just the creativity. And Ivan, I know you recently judged the Lurys as well. well. You're part of that committee. This has got that hybrid of business and creativity.
Absolutely. And I think if you think about marketing means business, gents, this is not just for SAE, right? I mean, this issue. And it's not new. It has always been there about marketing and its relationship to business and all that. And the basic premise of marketing achievement was, as the doc says, is exactly that, in terms of there is a creative, exciting, inspiring element of marketing when you look at it. But sometimes the pendulum swings so far on the creative side, and then people forget about, like, there is so much that can show the impact of all that in terms of the bottom line. And that's why, you know, having things like your Effies and your Apex, and even in Lurie's having creative advertising and shared value, which I know we'll talk about purpose later. But is this balance? I think the problem is, as human beings, I don't know why we are so obsessed with either or.
Is it
creativity or is it analytics? Yeah. It's and. It's not either or. Yeah. I mean, if you swing the pendulum too much to the creativity, you might ignore the important analytic part of marketing. If you swing it to the side of analytics, and sometimes, to be honest, is marketing tried to prove that we are all professionalized, but embrace the creativity that comes with it. And it's amazing, even on the council, I mean, the doc will tell you, even this year, as we were setting the awards for this year, still the debate was happening. Is it about creativity? Is it about analytics? It's amazing. The same debate was still in there. Is the combination of the two. And referencing it to what the doc was said as well, it is really two things about the power, the commercial power of marketing, but also about it as a discipline and as a career.
Yeah.
And the more you can just look at the creativity part of it, you know, you find a smart person to say, why should I go into marketing? Well, it's only about creative and all that stuff. But to say is to a bright young person who's got a creative sense to them, but analytic as well, to say, this is your career for you as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, you've got to go back to the fundamentals of creativity as well. I mean, we've often said over the years that nothing will destroy a bad product faster than good advertising. So I think what's emerging once again is the understanding when it comes to creativity, integrity, trust, you know, engagement at a community level. All of those things are crucial. So
indeed,
the creativity can be edgy, but it's got to conform. And I think also that somewhere for me, what's important in this going forward is that attribution and attribution modeling specifically has got to commence at the beginning of the campaign. It's not an add-on at the back end where you're trying to find some kind of a nominal relationship between stats. And I've often argued on this podcast and in presentations, there's three possible outcomes to any campaign.
Yes.
It worked, in which case that's cool. You review the prevailing conditions, and if they're the same, you repeat. It didn't work. Same response. Review the conditions, find out why it didn't work. And then the third one, which is where I think a good 80% of marketers are in this country. It worked, it didn't work, and I don't know. And if you are still in 2022 and 2021 playing in the I don't know space, then there's a problem. So attribution has got to come right up front. It's got to be a starting point, and you've actually got to put X amount of money into it. It's no good me using 100% of your media budget just to build more and more reach.
Yes.
Take X percent of upfront, commit that to attribution right up front, and then everything I plan is with a view to how am I going to populate in an intelligent and functional manner the attribution model. So I think it's a good time to be in the research industry, not just yourselves, there are a number of players out there, but I think Millward Brown, which was an early iteration of pre-Kantar, came up with something which has never really been eliminated on top of the poll, which was the relationship between liking and performance of ads. Liking drove noting. That was, you know, your predecessor Charles Foster's claim to scientific fame was his one scientific paper, which he reminds me of every time he asks me, how many scientific papers have you had? And the answer is, no, I haven't published one yet, Charles, but noting and liking were strongly correlated.
Indeed.
I think we need to move that narrative into noting and trust.
Yes.
Let's explore this trust thing now, because that seems to be the new iteration of liking.
Yes, and trust is interesting when you talk about trust, which will lead us to the issue of purpose.
Yeah.
Everybody's
purpose,
talking about
exactly.
Purpose. Purpose now is the buzzword, right?
Yeah. And that's one of the points, right? We're looping back really nicely to 2 years ago, because you raised the issue of brand purpose in that 2019 Kantar Top 30 Brands report. And since then, in the last 24 months, it's just taken off like a rocket. I mean, brand purpose is now the mantra.
And it makes sense that COVID-19 would have driven that, right?
Sometimes.
With what people are going through, now there's been a far much more demand on brands to say beyond, all the fantastic brand personality and brand product and services, what the why, as someone cynic has said it, what is behind that? And we are finding that with Gen Z most of the time, they are also making their choice based on what is that purpose? What is the purpose of your brand? And actually, there's something that came before purpose, which, to be honest, because sometimes purpose, if you are not careful, can end up being an ad campaign, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I like his predecessor. It's not as sexy as purpose, but shared value. That's why I like the shared value, because shared value for me is powerful, because it says, listen, CSIR is important and doing something extra for community is important. But can you imagine when you do something where intrinsically your business is also dependent on the community you are saving being successful?
Yeah.
It's not like when things are hard, you say like, okay, we have this CSI program now, times are hard. But it is fundamental to your business. The more you can make sure that's what you're doing, it might be part of your value chain as well. That really, it forces you to take purpose far much more deeper, because there has been some purpose where it ended up being, there's always that danger about purpose being a nice campaign and pulling at the emotional heartstrings. But at the end of the day, but if you do it correctly, it's amazing. People respond positively.
Interestingly enough, I'm sort of reading in this PhD Shift book, which we'll be chatting about in the next week or two. One of the key pillars of success going forward is building a people-based organization.
Yes.
What I like about shared values is it also implies an internal shared value. It's not just between the brand and the community it serves, but the people that are part of the brand can share in that value set. And I like the triangular thought behind shared values.
Yeah. You know, Doug, it's quite interesting you say that. And there's nothing that you are saying that is new, right? So that, especially if you're in the service industry, your people are your one of the biggest, if not the most important, in delivering that brand. Yeah. It makes sense that there should be a link between the people inside your organizations, absolutely, from somebody from your call center to whoever. That's when people engage with your brand, they leave that. Yeah. You know, it's unlike FMCG where, look, you've got a product, it's out there, can be sold from whatever channel, and people understand this. Whoever is selling it might not necessarily be part of your business, and they are okay, I'm buying the product.
Yeah.
But more fundamentally in financial, in services.
Yeah, and just a final note, and I'm going to leave Doc to wrap up, because one of the issues which I think perhaps we have not made the kind of progress in the past 2 years that we had hoped for is transformation.
Yeah.
It's become a ticking exercise of boxes. So if shared value is what drives the interface with the community, then that same shared value can be applied to suppliers as well. And so you get beyond ticking boxes when you talk shared value. I think it's just such a multifaceted approach to the game. I love that, and I'm going to leave it to you guys to wrap it now.
Thanks, Gordon. You know, I was just talking purpose, and I mean, I was just, as I was listening to you, I mean, reflecting back on the awards of the last season where Cadbury's and Mondelez won, purpose category. And we had Nadia Muhammad on here a few weeks back chatting about how they globally had moved their position from joy to generosity, and they won.
Yes.
For our listeners, you know, if you want to listen to that particular episode, it's another great one, because they won for Little Generosity Shop, toys pre-loved, they call it, you know, that toys, books, etc., donating it. And so that's that shared value of getting from consumers, bringing it into their cycle and giving it people less. And this year now, they follow that up with, in our own words, a book written, the scariest statistic, Ivan, I didn't know that, only 2% of South African published books are in African language. Okay, 2%. You heard correctly. And so Nadia and team are working with that shared value at getting people, South That's Africans, fantastic. To give you a word in whichever language, translated into form a book, and then getting that book out to youngsters, you know, teaching kids to read for understanding. So again, you know, that's just an example of real purpose. So, you know, for our listeners out there, Marketing Achievement Awards, please get on the site. Ivan's the chairperson. There's a lot of great people doing a lot of hard work. If you're a brand, there are 15 categories. Find one that would appeal to you. Find two that would appeal to you. We urge you to enter and really be part of showcasing, not just your artistic creator side, as Ivan said, it's very much an and discussion, and the business results and that have come results. From that.
And Doc, on that as well, is one of the few. I mean, agencies can enter and all that, but what I like about Marketing Achievement Awards as well is like they are directed at the marketeer. I mean, you think about it, there are not many awards that are directed at the marketeer, right? It's mostly because of their agents. Of course, these awards, when they are entered, it's a collaboration, but I like them because of putting the marketeer. Marketeer showing their excellence and doing that. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. So it's been amazing.
Thanks, Ivan. As we unfortunately come to the close of our 100th, they've rung the bell. It's the last ball of the day, and we are 100 not out, which is a good knock to have, Gordon.
Absolutely. Congratulations, you scored the single that took us up to the 100. I'm now going to sort of face the next ball and for the next 100. And it's been great fun. And what it has reminded me, one of the beautiful things about working in marketing and advertising and communication is there is always something new to learn. There is no excuse for us to stagnate. Every opportunity, every day is a new opportunity to learn new stuff. So, let's. All I can say is keep it coming, and let's have another. We'll see you in 2 years' time.
I'm going to see you in the 200th.
Yeah,
episode. Might not be 2 years' time. It might be sooner.
We may speed it up. Ivan, in closing, thanks very much for your time again. We really do appreciate it. And as I say, very, very special guest to have you back.
Thank you.
From our first to 100th. To our listeners out there, as always, stay tuned. Please be part of the conversation. Follow Gordon and I on various platforms. Send us names of guests you'd like us to interview and chat with as well. Until next week, be cool. Talk later.
Ciao for now. Keep on talking.
And so that was another episode of the Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get a hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get a hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mataz. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views and certainly will respond. And hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.